Now, this morning, I just thought for a few moments that you might like to look at John chapter 12 and verse 8. And it's quite remarkable, the statement that we find there in verse 12. John chapter 12, chapter 8 and verse 12. And Jesus is in the temple teaching, and he makes a statement. He says to the people, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now that's extraordinary in the life of Christ. And the reason it's extraordinary is because all the time Jesus is going around performing miracles, healing people, and telling those who observe it or who experience it, keep it quiet. Keep it quiet. So he heals a leper. He says, keep it quiet. He raises a dead man. He says, keep it quiet. He brings a girl back to life again. He says, keep it quiet. He gives a blind man his sight. He says, keep it quiet. And now we find him in the temple drawing attention to himself. Drawing attention to himself. And in a most remarkable way, he is making a statement which is quite, in a sense, astonishing. And I wonder why he made it. I am the light of the world. Now, why would anybody make such a statement? And what was his intention when he made this kind of statement? I am the light of the world. Now, if you were listening to him, as the Pharisees and the scribes were, you'd say, no, you're not the light of the world. You're just a deluded man. If you want to know what the light of the world is, just look here in the sky. The sun is the light of the world, not you. You're just a man. And not only are you a man, but you're talking nonsense. You're just talking self-talk. So what did Jesus mean when he said, I am the light of the world? Well, the presumption behind the statement is that the world is full of darkness. That's the presumption. But I think to myself, what exactly did he mean when he said, I am the light of the world? Now, you think a little bit about light. Why do you need light, generally speaking? Now, Katerina, what do you think we need light for? To see the ants. You go to Africa, you need light to see the ants. I can see them in my backyard without going to Africa. Yes, when we think of light, we need light to see something that is obscure. And I think when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, that it is an invitation for those who hear these words to reflect upon them. And perhaps he is inviting us on a journey of self-discovery about he himself. Jesus is inviting us on a journey of self-discovery about who he is and what he can do. Now, you know, most of us are pretty dumb. Most of us are pretty dumb. Certainly, I am no exception. But here you are, boss. You go out. This is you. You're the boss. You're the servant. You're the servant. Okay. You take the boss and the hirelings for a walk. And you go into the forest. And there's a great plain, clear. And you see a magnificent chestnut tree. I'm sure you've had that experience. You have? Yeah, good. Now, question. When you see the tree, what do you actually see? Most likely, because you're a man, You think of when you were a boy and collected chestnuts. And most likely you're still a boy and you'll go and pick up some chestnuts and put them in your pocket. But supposing you're an artist, would you see the chestnuts? Or would you see something different? You might see a thing of beauty. Say beauty. Supposing you were a carpenter, would you see the chestnuts? Would you see the tree as a thing of beauty? No, you would see the tree as a means of livelihood where the wood can be taken and made into things like chairs and tables. But supposing you were an entomologist and you study little insects, you wouldn't see the tree as a carpenter. You wouldn't see the tree as an artist. You wouldn't see the tree as a boy who hasn't grown up. You would see that this tree supports an enormous variety of life. And so when Jesus says to us, I am the light of the world, he's inviting us on a journey of self-discovery about who he is and what he can do. And would you feel happy with that? That Jesus is inviting us to look at him and to see this as a journey of self-discovery as to who he is and what he is and what he could do. What about that, Professor? Good. Yeah, you feel it is. It really is. It is an invitation to a journey of self-discovery about the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And so when he says, I am the light of the world, he says, look, come and look at me. Look at my person. So in this statement, he invites us on a journey of self-discovery. But then he makes a promise. He said, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me, he who discovers me, will not walk in darkness. Have you ever been in darkness, young man? How dark? An African night? Very dark. You know, you only see real darkness when you go down into a coal mine or a salt mine, right deep down in the bowels of the earth. And there's no light of any kind. And you are there by yourself. And as you're there 5 minutes, 10 minutes, then you find that it's not only dark, but you find that the darkness has kind of covered you. You have become absorbed into the darkness. And you cannot even see your hand right before your face. You cannot. That is darkness. That is real darkness. And it's quite frightening. It's quite frightening to be down in the bowels of the earth and there is no light. It's equally frightening to be in the world and be in darkness, where the sun is shining. The kind of darkness that Jesus is talking about is the darkness of the soul of man. Let me give you an illustration. Many years ago, I was, like Dr. Neil here, running some meetings, some public meetings. And there was a lady who came along to the meetings, and she asked me to visit her, and I did. And she told me a story about darkness. I share it with you. She married a chap, very nice fellow. He was a baker. And she married him because, like most girls and boys, they wanted to get married. So she got married. And after 6 months, she found her husband to be an insufferable bore. An insufferable bore. And then she found, met up with an old lover. And boy, was he exciting. Was he exciting? And so she started to meet her old lover. And after a couple of months, she said to this boring old husband, she said, "I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you. I can't stand this monotonous life." And he said to her, her name was Maureen. He said, "Maureen, I love you. That's why I married you. Don't leave me for this rascal, because he will just abuse you and then he'll leave you. So I don't care." And so she left her husband and she went off with this chap. And sure enough, 6 or 7 months later, he left her. And now she has no husband and no lover. And she is in a word, darkness. You can imagine, can't you? The turmoil, the frustration, the disappointment, the alienation, the lostness, the darkness. And so she didn't know what to do. But the first thing she had to do was get a job. So she got a job. And then one morning, at 7 o'clock in the morning, as she told it, there was a knock on the door of the flat where she lived. "Who's there?" "It's me, Gilbert, your husband." "I said, go away, go away." "No," he said. He said, "I want you to come home. You're my wife. I love you." "Go away." She stayed in the room until 8 o'clock that night. And then she opened the door and Gilbert, her husband, came in. He put his arm around her. He put his arm around her, put her things in a suitcase and took her home. Now, when she's telling me the story, what do you think I'm feeling? What do you think she is feeling? Why is she telling me the story? And then she said to me, "I love my Gilbert. I love my Gilbert. And now I know what love really is. He took me back and he gave me a second chance. He took me back and he gave me a second chance." That is darkness. Darkness that is illuminated. It's illuminated by the person of Christ. So the more we stand and the more we know about the person of Christ, the richer and the deeper is his promise that we shall not walk in darkness. We shall not walk in darkness. And then there's the possibility. There's the person, the promise, and the possibility. "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You know, I always think, when I read this story, I always think of the man who was outside a church and he was looking miserable, you know, long face, and a man is passing by and he said, "Excuse me," he said, "are you the minister?" He says, "No," he said, "I've just got an ulcer that makes me look miserable." You know, some people are miserable and some Christians are miserable. But Jesus says, if we follow him, we will not walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life. I wonder what he meant by the light of life. What did he mean? The light of life. Obviously, it has to do something with the way in which we think, the way in which we see things. We look at things in a positive and an illuminated way. In other words, it's a way that is alive. And I think to myself, as I look back upon my own life and the life of many people I know, I look back on my life and their lives. And do you know what I think? Do you know what I think when I look back and think of all the people that I've known? For maybe 40, 50, I was going to say 100 years ago, but that would be misrepresenting myself. I think of them. And what do you think comes into my mind? Have a guess. What I think of is what we could have done. What we could have done. What we could have achieved. You know, so many people settle for the mediocre. They're happy just to be a drawer of wood and a chopper of a drawer of water and a chopper of wood. You know, we need to have a bigger idea of life. You know, I was so pleased a couple of months ago as I listened to the radio. I never watched the television. It's bad for the brain. Very bad for the brain. The radio sometimes is not much better. But this was a little interview on Radio 4 of an old man who was 85 years of age. And he was telling the interviewer about his experience. He said, I had a bad hip. He said, a bad hip. And he said, I went to the doctor. And I told him, Doc, I need a new hip, a new replacement hip. And the doctor said, what? You're 85. He said, Doctor, I want a replacement hip. So the doctor said, well, okay. So he sent him to the hospital. And the surgeon interviewed him. And he said, Doc, I want a replacement hip. He said, you want a replacement hip? He said, you're 85. He said, well, what's that got to do with it? What's that got to do with it? He said, you're just against age. He said, I work 5 days a week. I hold down a full-time job. And you are trying to put me on the scrap heap. I want a hip replacement. And he got his hip replacement. As he was interviewed, he said, you know, they think when you're 85, you're ready for a coffin. No. Jesus said, he who follows me will have the light of life. He will have the light of life. In other words, as we get to know the person and the illumination of the journey of discovery, we move out of the darkness. He promises a movement out of darkness into light and the possibilities. The possibilities of walking in the light, in fellowship with him who is the light of the world. A journey of discovery in the person. Escape from the darkness by means of the person. And an experience of light and life day by day. Day by day, that doesn't stop in time, but goes on to eternity. Little poem. I really know it off by heart, if I can find it. But it's a beautiful little poem, and it kind of encapsulates what I've been trying to say. It goes like this. I would like to be a prince on earth, but better still to be prince with God on the golden shore that's washed by eternity. I would like to walk with the great of men, the rulers of power and fame, but the call of Christ has touched my heart, and I've chosen his way and name.